We'll be having another long portion of text. We'll read Genesis 30. We'll read from verse 25 through chapter 31. Now it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart. For you yourself know my service which I have rendered you." But Laban said to him, "If now it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined that the Lord has blessed me on your account." He continued, "Name your wages, and I will give it." But he said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you, and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through your entire flock today, removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black one among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And such shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later, when you have come concerning my wages. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be according to your word." So he removed on that day the striped and spotted male goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one with white in it, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the care of his sons. And he put a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Then Jacob took fresh rods of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white stripes in them, exposing the white which was in the rods. He set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks in the gutters, even in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, and they mated, and when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flock face toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own herds apart, and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, whenever the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods in the side of the flock in the gutters, so that they might mate by the rods. But when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. So the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, and female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth." And Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. And the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to the land of your relatives, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field and said to them, "I see your father's attitude, that it is not friendly toward me as formerly. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, 'The speckled shall be your wages,' then all the flock brought speckled. And if he spoke thus, 'The striped shall be your wages,' then all the flock brought forth striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. And it came about at that time when the flock were mating, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the male goats which were mating were striped, speckled, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. He said, Lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and mottled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, and where you were anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. Rachel and Leah said to him, Do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and also entirely consumed our purchase price. Surely, all the wealth which God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. Then Jacob arose, put his children and his wives upon camels, and he drove away all his livestock and all his property which he had gathered, his acquired livestock which he had gathered in Paddan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. When Laban had gone to shear his flock, then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he was fleeing. So he fled with all that he had. And he arose and crossed the Euphrates River and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, then he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him a distance of 7 days' journey and overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. And God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream of the night and said to him, Be careful that you do not speak to Jacob either good or bad. Laban caught up with Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen camped in the hill country of Gilead. Then Laban said to Jacob, What have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and deceive me and did not tell me, so that I might have sent you away with joy and with songs, with timbrel and with lyre, and did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, Be careful not to speak either good or bad to Jacob. Now you have indeed gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Then Jacob replied to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. The one with whom you find your gods shall not live in the presence of our kinsmen. Point out what is yours among my belongings, and take it for yourself. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maids, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel's saddle, and she sat on them, and Laban felt through all the tent, but did not find them. She said to her father, Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob became angry and contended with Laban. And Jacob said to Laban, What is my transgression? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Though you have felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn of beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was by day, the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your 2 daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been for me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, so he rendered judgment last night. Then Laban replied to Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters, and the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these daughters, or to their children whom they have borne? So now come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." Then Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, "Gather stones." So they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Now Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore it was named Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take wives beside my daughters, although no man is with us, see, God is witness between you and me." Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold the pillar which I have set between you and me. This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass by this heap to you for harm, and you will not pass by this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, the judge between us." So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his kinsmen to the meal. And they ate the meal and spent the night on the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you will bless us, that you will give us insight, that you will help us to see your work, and your work for your people in delivering them and for their good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read that big chunk of scripture that we read, in your mind, I hope you went, "This sounds somewhat familiar." Not the details exactly, but the storyline. That there is a man who is in a far country, and he is subjugated and treated like a slave, and yet the Lord blesses him and prospers him. The man's going to be called Israel. And he's comes and says, "Let me go." And, well, they don't want to let him go. Laban wants to keep him. And then finally, in a flash, they're gone. And then they're pursued. And God intervenes. Sound familiar? It should. It should, because, well, Moses is writing to Israel that they might remember their history, that their history has always been pretty much the same. They are about to be brought up out of Egypt. And guess what? Israel had gone into Egypt, out of the land. They had been subjugated and made to serve. And, well, they're going to go out in a flash. And they're going to be pursued. And God's going to be the one to intervene. You see the picture? That's the picture that's being given here. But that's There's some differences, right? You don't get all the plagues, but you do see the hand of God blessing and working. And just like you do with Egypt, you see a plundering, and the word is even used, that they plunder Laban. And so you get those connections. I draw those to you so that you don't forget, so that we don't get lost in the forest. We miss it for the trees. You know, we can stay particularly on Jacob and on Laban, and we can just deal with minor details, and we can do all of that and miss the big picture. That God is writing to tell His people of His redemption, and that He always accomplishes redemption for His people. And the reality is, His people will always be mistreated, particularly if they're living faithfully and well. And so you get that. But as we come to this, and you have that in the background, and you have that in your mind now, this text really breaks down in two points. It breaks down with the first one being a deceiver deceiving a deceiver. Right? That's what Jacob does to Laban. The text says he deceives him. It's a deception, but it's not a wrong one. He's been saying, "Get me out of here. Let me go long enough." And you hear Laban's continued lies, right? "Well, you should have told me you wanted to go." And this was the second, third, fourth time Jacob had said it. He said it way back whenever he got Rachel. He's like, "Okay, now let me go. Only work for me 7 more years." Okay. All right. "Name your price," he tells him again, right? And then he changes his wages and all of that. And so Laban says, "But if you would have told me, I would have sent you out with dances and with song." No, he would have conned him. And so a deceiver deceives a deceiver. And then the second part goes back to the thing that we already mentioned. A slave flees an enslaver. That's the picture. A deceiver deceiving a deceiver. A slave fleeing an enslaver. All the way back in chapter 29, when we consider Jacob deceiving Laban, all the way back in chapter 29 and verse 21, as I've already pointed out, Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." And he was saying, "Listen, my time's done. I want to move on. I want to have my family." And he says it again and again and again throughout. Jacob had basically said enough. He wanted to leave then. And yet it's been 14 more years. He's had it rough. And when you look at it, you pause, because our culture is not quite the same. And you go, why did Jacob have to ask? I mean, it's his wife. They were his kids. And what he had was his. But Jacob had entered into this contract essentially as a slave. His own uncle enslaved him. And he uses the term again and again throughout that he was a slave. Remember when Abraham's servant came? He came with gifts, right? And he was loaded down with gifts. And he basically bought Rebecca, right? There she is. Well, how did Jacob come? He came empty-handed. Yeah. He didn't have anything. And Laban said, "Name your price." And Jacob said, "Well, what about Rachel?" And the shackles were clasped. He didn't have anything to give for her but his service. And so Laban enslaved him. And he slaved for Leah and for Rachel. And now, quite frankly, he's tired of it. Time is up. He wants to go home. He wants to go home. I mean, again, remember, he wasn't a spring chicken when he went there. He was 70 years old, roughly, when he went there. He wants to go back to the land of Bethel, where he's been promised that he would return. And so you get to verse 25, It came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart, for you yourself know my slavery which I have rendered you." In essence, everywhere that you see him talking about his service and servitude, he's talking about slavery, "for which I have slaved for you." So Jacob asks for his wife and kids. Three times in verse 26, he mentions his servitude. "For whom I have served you. You know my service, which I have rendered to you, slaved to you, or before you." That's the picture. And so Laban doesn't want him to go because, well, he's getting rich, right? Laban, well, you don't need to... You kind of look at Laban and you go, "Well, buddy, you know you don't need divination to see that it's because Jacob's with you that God's blessing him and you're receiving part of that blessing." The promise has been known, and so he's divined it, he says, that the Lord has blessed me on your account. And later on, Jacob's going to say, "Look, you had nothing when I got here. You know, you had three sheep, and one of them was half dead, in essence. I mean, you didn't have anything, and the Lord blessed you because of me." And so Laban doesn't want him to go, not because he really loves his children and loves his grandchildren. Well, this passage really is driving at something else. It's driving at idolatry of Laban. The idolatry of Laban is everywhere in this passage. He's going to say of Jacob, "Why have you deceived me and taken my heart, my children, basically my flocks?" His heart's not toward his children. His heart's toward his wealth. And so he wants Jacob to stay. And so in verse 28... You hear him say it and you sort of want to groan, as he's done this before. "Name your wages and I will give it." And then Jacob's like, "Listen, buddy, you know how your flock has increased because of me. It's not because you have great sheep. It's because of me. God is blessing you because he has promised to bless me. And so I don't want anything from you. The Lord will provide it. And this is how." Right? And so he tells him he wants the speckled, spotted, mottled. He wants those. Because usually when a shepherd was going to have something divided to him, it was about 20% of the flock is what he would end up with. And if you have a large number of sheep, that's a lot. And it's going to take a long time. And Jacob wants to get out of there. The speckled, the spotted, the striped, usually not as many, and he could just have a starter flock, a little nest egg to get started with. That's what he wants, to get out of there with that, right? And what does Laban do? Well, he acts like Laban. He says, "Yeah, that sounds good." And really, he's already written down a note and sent it on with a servant and on to his sons, "Grab all the spotted ones, all the speckled ones, all the striped ones, and go." And somehow he detains Jacob for 3 days, and they get 3 days' distance between them. I mean, that's a man who loves his finances. He's made an idol of his stuff. And so then Jacob is blessed of God in this very strange workings. He peels the white sticks. Now, it's interesting. Esau, whose other name is Edom, right? We call him Edom. Edom means red. Sells his birthright for red stew, and now Jacob is peeling these white sticks. Lev means white, or Lev is heart, but Laban means white. And so now he's peeling this. I draw that out just because it's interesting, not because it's significant. And he puts these sticks in. Now, do you want to know the science behind it? Do you want to know what's happening here with this? So do I. So do I. I have no idea. Most people want to say certain things, but they don't know for sure. And the reality is, it's not the science that does the blessing. It's God. I mean, horticultural advances and all, well, whatever they are, it works. And so Jacob does this while they're breeding, while they're mating, all of these things. And Jacob's not being deceptive by putting these sticks here. He's just practicing selective breeding, from all I can gather. I'm not exactly sure what the branches do, but it's up to God to bless. And so he does. And he blesses his people. And Jacob has the promise of God that God will bless him, even when he's in a rotten circumstance, right? 6 more years he's with these flocks. I mean, it's been 14 now. It's 6 more. And he's labored with them. And so then he's getting wealthy. God blesses this, and he gets wealthy. And finally, as he hears Laban's sons, who are also idolaters, who also have enjoyed prosperity and getting rich because Jacob's there, listen to them. What foolishness. Here they had been probably behind harebrained, get-rich-quick schemes that had failed their father and sheep and so on too, because they had every chance to help him before he got there. Laban's only being blessed because of Jacob. And they say this, "Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our fathers, and he has made all this wealth.'" They're doing exactly what Esau did, right? He tricked me. He stole my birthright and my blessing. Well, no, he didn't. You sold it for soup. He didn't trick. He didn't steal, right? God blessed the deal that Laban had made. Laban said, "Okay, speckled, spotted, all of that you can have." And then he sent off all the ones that were in the flock. But the Lord blessed and all the others produced. And so Jacob hears that. And not only this, but Laban's attitude turns toward him, right? God's not blessing Laban's sheep. They're getting weaker. His flocks are getting smaller. But Jacob's growing in stature. He's being blessed. He's having lots of donkeys and servants now too. And Laban's attitude changes. No longer is he a servant necessarily. We're going to see they stand as equals in the minute contending in court. But they stand as equals. And so what happens? Well, God comes to Jacob and he goes, "All right, you've been wanting out? Get out." Right? Just like the Exodus. "There's enough. Go." And so Jacob gets up. He calls Rachel and he calls Leah to him. And they come. They hear what he has to say. And God fulfills his word, doesn't he? God sends him back to where he said he would send him. He fulfills his word. He tells Leah and Rachel that God has come to him. And they respond interestingly, don't they? Rachel and Leah said to him, "Do we still have any portion or inheritance in our father's house? Are we not reckoned by him as foreigners? For he has sold us and has also entirely consumed our purchase price." He sold them to Jacob, treated Jacob like a slave. And guess what that means? They were treated like slaves. His own children. They don't care about him and his wealth that he had at one point. They've had enough. They understand their father's love is not toward them. Their father's love is toward riches. You get the vision, and then they get up and go, right? They get up and go. They confess, essentially, their faith in the Lord before they get up and go. Now then, do whatever God has said to you. As a matter of fact, God's given us this wealth. And they tell him to do as God has said. And in verse 16, Surely all the wealth which God has plundered, I just want you to see that, it's plundered, it's the same word used of Israel coming out of Egypt. All the wealth that God has plundered from our father belongs to us and our children. And so God, Laban had used his daughters to increase his wealth, much like Egypt would Israel. And they want out wholeheartedly. It's not as if they say, well, we'll miss them. I've just grown up here. They say, yeah, God said, let's go. They've had enough. They've had enough. And so then you get verse 17. Jacob arose, put his children and his wives upon camels. He drove away his livestock and all his property which he had gathered and acquired and gathered in Paddan Aram. Then Laban had gone to shear his flock, and then Rachel stole the household idols that were her father's. And we don't know what to make of this. I mean, she has just confessed her belief in God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if she's like, well, we'll take them and melt them down and so on. I don't know that it's idolatry. Because if what she says is true, the way of women has come upon me, and she's got them beneath her, she doesn't think very highly of them. You know, so I don't think it's idolatry. I just don't know what it is. Why would she take them? They are usually, those sort of household idols were representatives of their ancestors. They weren't always, you know, gods, but family ancestors would be set up like that. I don't know. Maybe she's taking a part of it with her, but there's some of that there. And so Laban finds out that they're gone, right? And he chases after them, and says, and Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him he was fleeing. He fled with all he had, crossed the river Euphrates, set his face toward the hill country. And then Laban catches up with him, right? Takes him 7 days, and he catches up with him. And what does he say? He says, what have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughters like captives of the sword? Do you think this man was out of touch with his daughters? Didn't know that they did not like him and didn't know that they didn't care if they were gone? They weren't captives of the sword. They were willing participants. One even stole his idols. You know, they didn't care. Why did you flee secretly and deceive me and did not tell me so that I might sin? If this isn't the biggest lie, send you away with joy and with songs and with timbrel and lyre, and not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly, and it is in my power to harm you, right? He tells him all of this stuff. He's pursued him, he's overtaken. And it's interesting, God had come to him and said, don't say anything from good to bad, right? Don't go from good to bad. And when you hear him start talking to Jacob, you go, well, that doesn't sound like good at all. He's not going from good to bad. It's just bad. But then he sort of backtracks because he remembers what God had told him. You know, oh, but God told me. And so he backs up and pulls back there. So what is God saying to Laban when he comes to him in the dream? Watch yourself. Right? You're not my son. Watch yourself and how you treat my son, right? How you treat my chosen seed. And like I said, Laban does a terrible job in the beginning, comes at him with blame. And then you get to verses 33 through 35. You get this interesting picture where he's plundering after his idols. And Rachel really has no value in them. She just took them. That's what I'm saying, I guess. You know, then Jacob has had it, right? Verse 36, Jacob became angry and ribbed Laban, or contended with him. In other words, he's taken him to court. The kinsmen are all here because Laban came with a kinsman. He says, look, we're going to settle this now and finally. right? And that's the picture of what happens. He enters into legal contending, calls the kinsmen to witness. And in verses 38 through 40, you have Israel contending. These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes, your female goats have not miscarried. I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn, I bore the loss myself. That which was stolen, I bore that loss. And here's the nature of slavery. It was by day the heat consumed me, and the frost by night, and sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house, I served you or slaved for you. 14 years for your daughters and 6 for your flock. And Jacob is saying something here that's a picture that Jesus is going to use of himself. Laban has not been there being a good shepherd for his flock. Jacob is saying, I've been the good shepherd to your flock. That's why they've multiplied. That's why you've not borne a loss. All that you've given to me, I kept. And anything that's lost, I bore up and I paid back, in essence. Well, Jesus is going to use it more perfectly. And so Laban finally is going to let Jacob go. Verses 43 through 45, he says, look, it's out of my hands. He said, but they are mine, though. You know that those are my children, but it's out of my hands anyway. So let's put this pillar here between us and let it stand. And then he says something interesting, that if you don't take it, you know, if you don't think about it, he says, the God of Nahor and the God of Abraham. And, well, we know that the God of Nahor is not a God. He's an idol. Laban's coming back to his idolatry, right? He's lost. He sees the blessing of God on the people of God, Jacob. He understands because God has come and spoken to him, but he would rather have his idols. He would rather have his treasure, and he would rather serve false gods so that he can keep his idols rather than be willing to lose everything and have the God of Jacob. And that's a terrible place to be. In 400, almost 500 years, Pharaoh's going to be told, let my people go. Your gods are nothing, and God's going to pour out his fury, right? In big ways, he's going to demonstrate these things, and Pharaoh would rather keep them enslaved than to lose them. And he would rather keep them enslaved and earn earthly trinkets than to have the God who overpowers and overthrows all the little g gods of Egypt. Such is the corruption of the heart because of sin. And so you get the picture here. Laban is entrenched in his idolatry. Laban's not going to flee his idolatry. He's going to turn around and go back to it. He says, look, here's a pillar. You go over there. Go to the fear of Isaac. The only place that he's called the fear of Isaac is in this text. I think that Jacob calls him that because he put the fear of God in Laban when he came to him in a dream. And so he says the fear of Isaac to him. Mentioned it. And so then he says, you go. And the point is, you're going to go serve your God and I'm going to go back. Laban is a dog returning to his vomit. He's going to go back unrepentant. And the reality then, as you look at this, as you and I look at it and we go, well, what do we do with this? I mean, it's an interesting bit of history. Well, the reality is this. It's not enough to acknowledge the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You must flee from and renounce all others. There you have it. You flee from them and renounce all others. And ultimately, All other gods, though they might, and I say this sarcastically, bless you in this life, will ultimately damn you. But it's only the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac who dies for and saves you. And that's the ultimate picture that comes out of this. But as it is, time is here.